There you go.
All right. Well, good to talk to you, Congressman. We'll go ahead and get started. Congressman Jack Bergman on the line with me today as we are talking the day after the big inaugural festivities in Washington. Congressman, what kind of a quote-unquote perch did you have for the inaugural ceremony?
Okay. If you had been standing where the president was standing giving his speech, and you looked out at the crowd and you looked to your 1 o'clock, 1:30 at about probably 50 feet away, you'd have been looking at me.
Ah, okay. And I've heard commentary saying that quite a few people mentioned that they thought it was a much more dignified proceeding being in the Capitol Rotunda. I'm wondering what your reactions are, and assuming you've been to other inaugurals on the outside.
Yeah, it was dignified. I think that's a fair assessment, because anytime I'm standing in the rotunda, you kind of feel like, wow, how lucky we are as a country to be who we are. And it starts with being in that rotunda and understanding what the founders did to create not only the rotunda, but to create our country. So it's kind of you stand in awe when you're in that area, and the dignity of the ceremony from beginning to end was a really tribute to the United States and how we value our form of government, and to project that not only to the people in the room but to the people around the world of the dignified transfer of power that occurred yesterday.
Well, and of course, starting yesterday, in the afternoon, early evening, we got what could, I guess, be described as a tidal wave of actions in the form of executive orders. Is the president, the new president, doing pretty much what you thought he should do, or you want him to do right out of the gate?
Yes. It's one thing to sign an executive order creating something new. But it's what we unfortunately had to suffer through the last 4 years of the Biden administration. One of some of the first executive orders the president signed were undoing the negative policies and, again, executive order-driven priorities of the Biden administration. I mean, in one simple form, how about let's bring back the energy sector to a point where we can actually be the energy leader in the world, because 4 years ago, Joe Biden shut the energy sector down. So Donald Trump is reversing that and getting the economy moving by getting the energy sector moving, and it's the right thing to do. So rescinding bad executive orders and then creating new ones, that's it. The Trump administration, to their credit, and mainly President Trump, as he has said, when he came to Washington 8 years ago, he really had no experience in how Washington worked. Fast forward 8 years later, his team came in with a game plan to get the ball rolling right away, to get the government back to work, to get the government functioning and getting out of the way of the American people, while at the same time creating the safe and secure environment by closing the border, beginning to remove people from our country who are here illegally, and do the right thing for the American citizens on so many counts. So he's got a lot of irons on the fire right now, a lot of irons in the fire right now, and so that was the prioritization of a lot of these executive orders.
Well, earlier today there was a story on a couple of different sources that the president was planning to roll out a big infrastructure plan, and it was 4 o'clock Eastern was the time I heard, and we're a little past that. Do you have any sense of what that might be about?
The short answer is no. I do not have any visibility on that right now. So that's news I haven't heard.
Any sense that the Democrats in the House will go along with Republicans on at least some of the legislation that the president wants?
I am cautiously optimistic that there are moderate Democrats. Let's face it, both parties have their way left and way right extremes that in the end really don't add value for the American people. I'll just say that. I really don't care. If you can't figure out a way to use some common sense to find some common ground for the common good, you know, in a consistent, I know I'm allotting you to use C words here, consistent and concise manner, but there are some Democrats who I believe under the right conditions will vote for some of these good policies and bills that we're going to put on the floor.
Well, first time around, the first Trump administration, you got a big catch for the first district in the form of the finally getting that two-lock extension off the table and moving. Anything in the coming administration that you think is particularly important to us up here?
Well, I think one of the things that's going to be important for all of us in the UP is to continue to have the administration through the permitting and the prioritization process for the continual expansion of all the broadband so that all of our businesses, all of our homes, all of our schools in the UP have, if you will, equal and consistent access to high-speed fiber, because without it, we really can't in the 21st century here, you know, do our business, do our education, live our lives. And so that's going to be one of my priorities continuing to go forward. But one of the other priorities that I think we're going to see some movement on is the fact that we have to take a look at how do we provide healthcare, accessibility to healthcare, in the rural and remote environments, which is what the UP is. And you're going to see some presidential focus on some of those programs like 340B for the discounted, pharmacy products and that enable that 340B funding helps those small rural and remote care providers stay in business. So the local people have a place to go in the immediate area for emergency care. So, but those are, it's a broad-based, the president has a broad-based agenda, but if you think about the fact that we still have in the UP tremendous amount of minerals that could be mined safely and utilized to create jobs here in America through the processing of the materials and then, you know, creating them into other parts, if you will. So the UP is a very special place, and the Trump administration is going to recognize that, example, when they funded the Sioux Locks, they created a project that helps all of America because of the iron that goes through the Sioux Locks that goes to Galveston, Texas, or ends up at an auto assembly plant in Tennessee. We all succeed together when it comes to the sharing of, you know, here's the thread. Here's where we mine it in Minnesota. We ship it across the Great Lakes, you know, maybe down to somewhere around Toledo, or we take it out through the St. Lawrence Seaway. Everything is interconnected, and it's the UP is going to thrive, I believe, under the next 4 years of the policies of the Trump administration. But it also now the role that Michigan has to play at the state government role to be a partner with the federal government in certain things. And that's where we still have our challenges with Lansing's functionality at the governor level.
So, Congressman, how do you think that the federal government can play a positive role in getting Copperwood Mine off the ground?
I think one of the things it's going to be more in the permitting process. The local, you've seen all the the back and forth of who supports it and who doesn't. I think the first role the federal government can play is that streamlining of the permitting so that those entities that are not comfortable with mining can get comfortable that it's going to be done safely without damage to any part of the environment, and it's a positive. Regardless, we could always have our differences about, you know, different things that involve digging into the ground, or in some cases, think about forestry products and some people who don't want us to log. But I think the refining and the reducing, whatever you want to call it, of the permitting process to take a look at what's being proposed, ensure the safety of it, and let it roll forward or not, but do it expeditiously. That's where the federal government can get involved.
Finally, Congressman, DEI, it's been a big topic of conversation. You have a new incoming defense secretary, potentially Pete Hegseth, who is promising to eliminate it or at least rein it in quite a bit. Your observations being a retired Marine Corps Lieutenant General.
Well, I'm going to play with words on you here. DEI is DOA. Okay? And if the people don't know what DOA, it means dead on arrival. So the point is, we have great young men and women who want to serve in our military, but they're not interested in some social experiment. And this has happened over time in our military at different times in our country's history. We're already seeing is as we look at some of the young men and women who are, you know, eligible and contemplating service in the military are now excited because this DEI nonsense is no longer going to be part of the equation. So I expect to see some retirement papers put in, both in the uniform side of the Department of Defense and in the civilian side, that there's some people that just need to go because their priorities are wrong.
Congressman, anything else that you might want to mention that I might have failed to ask you about?
Not really, but the point is, we know we need more snow in the UP. So we got a lot. We didn't have much last year. If guys are going to pray for anything up there, pray for some more snow so our snowmobile trails are open and the people come up there to recreate and they come and stay in our hotels and eat in our restaurants and, you know, frequent our gas stations and grocery stores. So let's hope we got a beautiful next couple of months of winter.
That's great. Thank you very much, Congressman Jack Bergman, a Republican in the 1st District, the U.S. House of Representatives. Thanks much. And